take your Bible, if you will, and turn with us tonight. To start with, we want to look back about, go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 to start with. I want to do a little bit of rehearsing and then get into something, I think. Hope you'll bless. Father, again, we open this precious book. What a joy to have it. Lord, on what we do with all the mess we're seeing today if we didn't have this book. We thank you again for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And Lord, please help me to understand it. If I'm going to teach it, if not, I need to keep my mouth shut. And Lord, I pray that you'd help my heart to be helped first. If that be the case, then I can be better to help someone else as we come on Wednesday night to hear the Word of God taught. Father, honor yourself, honor your Son. Holy Spirit, may you be able to do through the teaching tonight that's needed, not only that I may have the power to do it and understand it, the subject to the place to explain it, but others may have the power to hear and be able to understand it as it's taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we look at a verse tonight, I want to go back. We were talking about the difference between man's soul, his spirit, his body. We have no trouble with the body because you see that. But there is a lot of debate now about the soul and the spirit. And last week we looked in the Old Testament, the Hebrew of the word soul. We said it was nephesh. It meant a breathing creature. In the Greek, it's pneuma. It means a current of air, breath or breathes. When you get to the New Testament in the Greek, of course that was in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. When you get to the New Testament, you find in the Hebrew that the word spirit is ruah. It means breath, air, wind. When you look to the word spirit in Greek, now in Hebrew of the New Testament, let me go back so you understand. Hebrew for the word soul is nephesh, breathe. The Greek is pneuma. This word spirit in the Hebrew is ruah, which means breath, air, wind. And the spirit in the Greek of the New Testament, again, is pneuma. The same as the Greek of soul in the Old Testament, as it's used in those contexts. And it simply means current of air, breeze, or breath. So you can see, though, soul and spirit, we have, definitely can tell the difference by looking at it. And if you look at the dictionary, you find that there's a difference when you think about the spirit and think about the soul. Soul being the center, the intellect, the thing that we know. It makes decisions. It's the center sometimes. The heart, you may call it. Sometimes interchange. You think about the heart of the individual. You think about the soul when you're thinking about the spiritual person rather than just a heart that pumps the blood. And then when you talk about the spirit, the spirit has no power to make us do anything, but it is how God teaches us or how we teach each other. And we'll look at that a little bit later, see how it works. What I'm trying to show you that both of these words have different meanings according to the context they're used in. And you'll find they're interchangeable a lot of times. The soul and spirit are often used interchangeable in the scriptures. In John chapter 12, look with me down about verse 27. That's where you don't want to start here tonight. Notice what Jesus said. Now is my soul troubled. That's very interesting. Now is my soul troubled. That meant the fact that his center part, breath mainly, what this word sets forth at this particular time. If you look at in John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, believe also in me. Also, if you look in verse 27, he goes back, he says this in verse 27, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Here again, it's the center part of the individual. Heart and soul is interchangeable, but as it's used, it's setting forth life, and it's setting forth the depth. We understand when he talks about my soul trouble, the depth of his life, but you're talking about his heart, the center of a person. That should be our center focus when we're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, we see that it means soul. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 18 with me. Here the Bible says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, Paul said. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The word spirit here means a current of air or breeze. Now that's the life that we have. In fact, you're breathing now is the fact I knew you're alive. Every one of us in here. If you quit breathing, you'll be. We know where you're going. So it's setting forth that life and trying to find in context how these words are used interchangeable gives us more advantage of knowing truth than if we don't do that. And sometimes it's not easy to do it, so it takes a lot of studying. And we don't have to be Greek scholars and Hebrew scholars to know that. Just the fact, understand, when God's word was was translated, they were put in the right place. Spirit, soul, heart, those words were put in the right place. And to understand them deeper helps us a little bit about that. Now, if you look with me, here, some say that the spirit and body and spirit equals the soul. And they claim that because of Ecclesiastes. Turn over there with me and look with me in Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, and down about verse 7. It says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the dust here speaking of the body, made of the dust, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, is that not Bible? It is. But someone said, well, hey, see, wait, right there. It says the spirit which they consider to be the life returned to God who gave it and didn't mention the soul. Therefore, it can't be that it's got to be spirit, body equals the soul at this time. But wait a minute. If we didn't have any more verses in the scripture, it might be that way. But there's a lot of verses show how God divides them, divide them among themselves. Here, when a person dies, the spirit goes back to God, but the soul and body doesn't exist anymore according to what they're saying until the body goes back to the dust. And, of course, the body will go to the dust because if the spirit goes to God, you actually die physically. So that may seem confusing, but it won't end when we get through this. So a person dies, the spirit goes back to God, and the soul and body does not exist anymore. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, they use this verse for that teaching. And if no one didn't know anything else about other verses, then it might sound right. Look with me in 1 Kings, if you will, chapter 17. And I've done a number of these. I've done enough to give you a chance to go look, too, if you'd like, some other places. Here we see Elijah and the widow's son who died. And watch what he said. In verse 21, now he had stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now, why would God give the record of Elijah request for the child's soul to return to him if it's the child's spirit that only went to God? So you see, God puts this together in systematic order for us who have the spirit to understand, and it confuses everybody else. And they deny it because you can't approach God without the spirit of God. You can't get the spirit of God unless you're born again. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That's what Jesus said in John 14. And 16, I think, where he talked about the Spirit would give to us to teach to the apostles and to all others, would teach them what God has said and doing as far as his word is concerned. And of course, he didn't give it to us that you teach orderly like they do. Many times before the documentation was made, he gave it knowing the documentation would be made, and we'd have the word of God to verify what we hear, and the Holy Spirit would bear witness with our spirit if it was true or not. Let me ask you something. If you're born again here tonight, when you hear someone say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, I guarantee you, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will not bear witness to your spirit that it's true. There's something, a flag up in your heart. And you say, whoa, wait a minute. That can't be true. Why? It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings up these things to us and brings conviction about those things that are carnal truths. And we know that convictions are those things that they're not preferences. Convictions you'll die for. If you just believe because of preference, you change with the wind. But it's the Holy Spirit that brings convictions to bring these things about. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 2. Now, they'll use this because in this case, they have a little trouble. In Genesis chapter 2, look down about verse 7. Here we see the creation of man. And they said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So it's a known fact that God calls that which he gave man his soul. That's the life, the breath of God that he blew into Adam. So here we see the soul used. We see Elijah calling God, and God sent back the soul of the young boy that had died. Even though we see in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, he says the spirit returns back to God. So it would seem to me, I know where the body's going, amen? It's going back to the dust. Then it would seem to me that God is setting forth to us that there is such a thing as the spirit and soul. They're going to God when we die to disperse as he sees fit. Now let me ask you a question. If you're born again, how will God see fit to disperse those that come to him? If they're in Christ, they're going to live with forever. If they're outside of Christ, they're going to hell. And they're going to end up in the lake of fire. I mean, that's just how it is. And so no wonder I understand. And here, when you find a person who goes to the lake of fire, they are literally spiritually dead. They're inoperable. So the unsaved world, who is a spirit as much so as a soul in a body, the unsaved world has not the awakening. We'll show that how that happens in a minute. So that they can understand that to be awakened, Ephesians 2:1, you have to quicken who were dead passes in trespasses and sin. That means we have been made alive unto God. And so there we had what was called walking around alive physically, having a spirit of man that's cut off from God, and God calls that dead. Death is spiritual death. And of course, when that took place, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but here again in Genesis 2:7, some of them tried sometimes to say, well, you know, the body and spirit is soul, the body plus the spirit is the soul, and since it said spirit in Ecclesiastes and soul here, they mean the same thing. Well, to some degree they do, but in context they're different. Why? Because God wanted to show us who we are, what happened when we were born, what he's done, his purpose, and how we can be born again spiritually, be coming into this world spiritually dead, be born again spiritually, that we can understand the things of God who is a spirit. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you can come into, by the way, did you know the nephesh, as far as man is concerned, is his breath? Nephesh is also given to the animal. But you don't find anywhere that God gives the word spirit to an animal. An animal don't have a spirit. Only human beings have spirits. So therefore, I can see even there that spirit has to do with man, because God is a spirit and we're related to him, and we lost that in the first Adam, and Jesus Christ helps us bring it back to us in the age of grace. So the Hebrew word, ruah, which is for the spirit, is, you know, breathe, air, wind, is not used in Genesis 2:7, but the word soul. The word namash or nerama or nefesh is for the soul in Hebrew in the Old Testament. So I can see there's a reason why God put soul one place, even though they're similar in the meaning, and spirit another place. And by the way, I'm glad he finished this book, because he helps us unravel it. Amen. I have no confusion about what the soul and spirit is, and sure, nobody has any confusion about what the body is, because it's well instructed to us in this book. Note what God said in Genesis chapter 2, again, in verse 7, when he said he blew into man the breath of life. Now, the question is this. Did Adam die that day? The world will say, well, no, he lived 930 years later. But God said he did. Look with me, if you will, in Genesis 2:17. You know why I know he said that? Look in Genesis 2:17. Now, after he gave instruction to Adam and Eve, the Lord, in verse 15, took the man and put him in the garden and Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord said, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, but, what a great conjunction, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now the world would say, but he didn't die, he lived 930 years. Well then, if God said the day, he didn't say 930 years later you're going to die. He says what? The day. The very day you eat of that, you're going to die. Well, if he didn't die physically, which I could see with my physical eyes, then God either lied, unless he had another explanation so we'd understand what God is doing. And we know, since Ephesians 2 said we have to be quickened, made alive spiritually, God is a spirit, Adam and Eve died spiritually that day. They were inoperative. They could not. How do I know they died spiritually? Because I go to chapter 3 and I begin to read of the story. God was referring to Adam's spiritual death. Here, soul and spirit, body and spirit can't mean soul. Because he didn't die physically that day. He died 930 years later. Now watch in verse chapter 3 as we develop. The relationship with God, the Father, was broken that day. And since God is a spirit, our relationship to him must be spiritually, because he's of the spiritual world. And without the Spirit of God, we don't understand the things of God. Hold your finger there. Turn to 1 Corinthians with me just a minute. Chapter 2. There's so much on again. I don't have time. Because I'm giving you bits and pieces where I spend hours on this thing. And sometimes we lose it between one Wednesday night and the next Wednesday night. But we go back, we read this before, and you know what it is. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. And read down a few verses, and let's look at the difference now. Verse 10, verse 9 said, but it is written, I have not seen. Look in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And then he said, but God has revealed them unto us how? By his Spirit. Did say soul here. The soul is the reception of to make decisions on this information. He's revealed them by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, verse 11 tells us what is happening before we're born again. It says, what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Let's stop there just a minute. What a man knoweth a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. So that simply means this. If we didn't know who God was at all, none of us was born again, then we'd be communicating with each other with our natural spirit that we have that's fallen. It's dead in Christ, or outside of Christ. It's dead outside of Christ. So we'd learn all the intellectual learning that comes into this part of the soul, which is the intellectual center part of that. All that would come from the spirit of man teaching each other. That's all we know. And then we'd hear. Brother Alford would come and try to teach me something. I'd hear it through the spirit of man to my spirit, but there has no control to make me believe it. It is that soul, the real me in this body, who would decide if he's right or if he's wrong. And if I didn't have anything to prove that he was wrong, I'd probably receive anything he said was right, thinking it was truth. On the other hand, when we are born into the family, let's read a little further now. He said, say the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, you know what he said? I don't care how hard I try to study and teach. I don't care how hard you try to study and witness. The Holy Spirit gives us this amazing truth. We spend the time to study it. And there's no way in the world you can give it to anyone else unless they receive it by their spirit. They can say, when they hear that information, they say, I don't believe that. And then their soul takes control. And the spirit is quietened. They have no conviction power because they don't have the Holy Spirit inside bearing witness. You remember Paul talked about? God's Spirit cries in our heart, Abba, Father. So here we find ourselves, the unsaved people, the same way. Oh, they may be the most educated people in the world, But if they're not born the second time from above, which the Bible calls them again, then they do not understand spiritual things. They can only understand what rises to the level of man's intelligence, and more than likely, since they don't know who God is, and yet realizing there's something in us that has a religious outlook on life, they begin to make their own gods. You can go anywhere on this planet Earth, and there'll be worship of God some kind or another. Who is the God? If somebody had made it up, and they follow suit because they decided in their natural man spirit to believe the record that the ones that they gave the power to be the holy band of their tribe or whatever it is. And they follow that to the nth degree because they have nothing else to compare it with. And then they hear tell of someone else. Did you not know that even the Muslim religion in Iran, the way he feels against Jews and religions because he has nothing to compare it with? In truth, he thinks he's got truth. He don't have the truth. He's got a pseudo-religion of a God he calls Allah. And you say that, and the world thinks, man, you don't know what makes you. It isn't that we're so smart. It's just that we are dumb enough to believe God. Amen. You don't have to be very smart to unravel that. Just look at who the true God is. And I'll tell you what. I've got some things on the Quran I've been reading lately, and I'll be honest with you, it don't make sense. You think, people say the King James don't make sense. You read that junk, it just don't make sense. It wanders everywhere. It amazes me how it irritates me just to read it. But to read this, I may not understand it, but it blesses my heart. Why? Got to be the Holy Spirit of God. And if they can't read the same way like you and I do, they must not have the Spirit of God. Because you and I don't have the ability to understand this and on a merit any more than anyone else. If it was not for God revealing these truths to us through His Word, and then we by our Spirit, His Spirit revealing to our spirit, because the alignment's right, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our soul and our body, the alignment's right, then there's that teaching. How's it come? God says something wrong. And all of a sudden in the flesh we say, I don't know, I won't raise that way. And then you try to do something that God said wrong. I guarantee you, when you first try it, there'll be a conviction in your heart. You say, why do I feel so bad? God's convicted you. God is conviction. God has promised to do that if something is true and we break God's word by not obeying. That's a sign we're saved. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But I'll tell you this, if you don't have the Spirit of God and you do something that's wrong and society puts approval on it, you enjoy it. The flesh say, man, isn't this good? And there's no spirit to say, hey. You know, people talking about this little man on this shoulder and this little man on this shoulder. Said, and you want to, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, you've got this little man on this shoulder and he's got red horns. He's telling everything's all right, amen? If that's what you'll look at, everything's all right. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ born in the family of God, you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you. I'm just doing this as a symbol and this. And I'll tell you, there will be a battle going on at that particular time. So it helps me, I believe, to notice. Let's read a little further. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world. See that? We got that when we were born in this world. It came automatically. But now we don't receive the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. How do you get the spirit of God? Tell me. How do you get the spirit of God? You got to be born again. How do I know that? Where's the verse that tells me that? That I have to be born again. Because I just can't off the top of my head said, you know, the Bible says this. I might know it, but I can't do that and talk to people because they need to read it with their own eyes. I need to go know where to go see, show that. Jesus said you must be born again in John chapter 3. He didn't say think about it, pray about it. He said you must be. It is a must. You remember years ago, a few times I've said in the past, I learned something about life. And I said here tonight, there are some things in life that I can learn, and it don't mean a thing except help broaden my knowledge. I don't need it to survive. I don't even need it for education, but to learn, it is a wonderful thing to learn because it just exercises my mind and it helps me to really grow in knowledge. But if I had it in there, it don't really make any difference. If I could remember everything I knew, it might make some people think I'm a little smart. But what it is, Just out here and I can learn it. So I read a lot about things just to learn. Then there's some other things that comes in from this out here to here. There's some things here that I need to know to live better. I need to know to survive in this life. I need to know for job. I need to know for communication with people. I need to know to get along with people in society, leaving God out. So here's the thing, just good to know, broad my knowledge. Here's the things I need. Here's the things good to know, broad my knowledge. Here's the things I need to know to survive better. It's much better when you get a job, learn what the job does and work hard at it, amen? Or much better if you got a car, learn how to drive it. And some things I need to know. And I need to know when the little red light comes on the dash and says, oh, stop, oh, that. There are some things I need, you know, I need to know. And I could go on and on. But then there are some things I must know. And that's what Jesus said. Amen. Ye must be born again. Amen. That's a must know. And I can't know that without a relationship with God. And that must knowing is an important thing. It's not just good to know. It's necessary for me to go to heaven, for me to live with God and have the life of God in my life throughout eternity. I must know that. And here's what I see here. Now watch as we say, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now that verse tells me this. To have the spirit of God is the only way that I can know, watch what he said, the things that are freely given to us from God. Ladies and gentlemen, can you not see? What's the process of elimination here? If that's the criteria about me knowing the things of God, then those who don't have the Spirit have no chance of never knowing the things of God. They have to be born again. Just like a physical baby in this life. There's no way that a physical baby in a mother's womb will ever learn, as long as it stays there without being born physically, the things we know in this life. They don't know one thing about what happens outside of that womb. As a matter of fact, if one of us could go back and try to tell them, go back to the mother's womb like Nicodemus talked about, which is going to be done, and try to tell them, they wouldn't even understand it. Because they have nothing from the outside to bear witness with them other than what we say. Well, the same thing with things of God. We're in this world, it's kind of like a womb before we get to heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes and it helps us understand spiritual things of God so that when we are walking in this life, though we were once spiritually dead and had no relationship, in Jesus Christ we have been made alive in him, and we have the Spirit now, and God is able to teach us. Watch verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. That's only the human spirit to the human spirit. But now we got something different. We don't just speak with words of wisdom which man teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Let me ask you something, folks. What is the Holy Ghost going to teach from? Hit me out. The Word of God. Why? Because he inspired it to be written. He's not going to go outside of this book. He's got exactly, God has got through the Holy Spirit exactly what we need to know about what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. But I'll tell you this, you got to do more than just read a couple of verses every day. And there's nothing wrong with that, or a couple of chapters every day. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, you know, clean water running through a sifter. We're clean to keep it clean. But you won't learn much just reading a chapter or two every day. Study. That's the reason Paul told Timothy, study the Word of God. That's a action verb. And it's more than just that. Watch, he said, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing, watch this, spiritual things with spiritual, we put things at that. What does that mean? When I'm reading the scriptures, just from time to time, or trying to read through the Bible, nothing wrong with that, but you're going to get to the place where you read somewhere, and you say, wait, I need to compare this to something else. And that's what Paul's saying here. You compare spiritual things with spiritual. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so what you do, you read something here and say, man alive, I need to find trace through that. And you find some way to trace through that. And sometimes you go to Genesis and go through Revelation, following through, like the bloodline. That's the reason I wrote that little book on the bloodline, tracing it through all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Then watch this. I love this. Now, since he said all of these in verse 9 through 13, look at the next 14, but, there's that but again. But, the natural man, now tell me who the natural man is. Folks, I know you know, but here's how you study the scripture. Who is the natural man? The lost man, the unredeemed man, the unsaved man. Put all those words there. To me, I say them over. Unredeemed man, the unsaved man, one without God. All those things. So I'll understand who that man is that's a natural man. He's born physically of the flesh. But the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. There's a dividing line. Why? Because the day that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they did die spiritually. And even to the place when God came back to commune with them, what is it they felt? They're going high. They didn't feel that way before. What in the world? And you heard me say before, I believe that Adam and Eve knew when God was coming, the hour, the minute, and I believe they were standing, waiting, looking for it. Because they couldn't contact or communicate with, well, they could contact, but could not communicate with anybody else. Not another animal could talk their language. Only God could. But one day he came, and they were gone, hid among the trees, the scripture says. What's the difference? There must be a breakage of communication and fellowship. And that's what God said. Once you take of that tree, that day you're going to die. God came to put them to the test when he came searching for them, and they're not there. And he began to call them by name. Adam, where art thou? And finally Adam said, recognized himself, and he began to make excuse why he did what he did rather than just saying, God, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I did something you said not do. He did like the human race does all the time, began to make excuses. You know, he can't blame mom and dad because mom and dad weren't there. But he could blame that wife. And what gets me, I'm beginning my message Sunday, but what gets me, ladies and gentlemen, the amazing thing about it is, he was saying to God, you gave her to me. I had no choice. And by the way, he was right. Amen? Yes, he did have a choice. Don't blame her, because he had a choice. He didn't have to do it. By the way, she didn't have to do it. But when you look at the knowledge, as we'll read next week in Genesis 3, you'll see how Satan began to manipulate on that once he got him in a fallen state. But watch. The natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That means they don't make sense. Like moron, no sense at all. I just can't put it together. Man, it's too fictitious. What I believe is better than that. He said, neither can he know them. That's what gets me. Neither can that person know that. You know, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. That's the reason Jesus Christ looked upon that people that crucified him and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They did not understand what they thought they would get injustice as far as Rome is concerned. The Jews thought they would get injustice because this man had, they thought, broken everything in the past that God had said. Why? Because they had changed everything God had said, and only Christ was going back showing how the things that God said was fulfilled in him. And they had changed it at that time. And so he said, neither can he know them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, does that make us such hard people when we say, if you're not born again, you can't understand about God? And people, don't tell me. I know what pi equals square is. Don't tell me I can't understand about God. Of how that pie goes. I have you to know. I'm one of the smartest men that came out of Yale. Or Harvard. I'm one of the smartest women that came out of Princeton. Makes no difference. Has nothing to do with one's relationship with God. It may make you a smart person here and get the best job in the world, become the most wealthiest man in the world, and live here to be 80 or 90 years old. But that type of person still go to hell if they don't know Christ as Savior. Why? Because there's got to be a spiritual awakening. And only Jesus Christ can do that because I can't merit myself before God to get what God requires. And by the way, Adam couldn't either. Once Adam disobeyed God, Adam couldn't come back and say, God, just give me another chance. And boy, I'll tell you, no, he don't get another chance without something dying for him. He's got to understand his sin is sin, and therefore he can't get a chance without the innocent taking the place of the guilt. And God starts that in the garden to the time that Jesus had come. And then a wonderful thing, when I read that, I just marvel at the fact that even before he made Adam, he knew what he was going to do. Before he had made Adam, he knew that rascal was going to do that, and yet God loved him. You say he called him a rascal? Well, what more could he be when he gets God? I don't think that's a bad enough name for him. But you know, God still loved him. And God still worked with him. And God still gave a sacrifice, even though he didn't know what it was, and set up a system for his own family to have a relationship with God, though sin had entered into the world. Then he said, watch this, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Ladies and gentlemen, that verse right there is a powerful verse. The natural man can't understand things. God, why? Because he said, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish to him. Neither can he know them. And the reason for that, they are spiritually discerned. In other words, he tries to understand it with his spirit that's dead. And only Christ can bring that life back. The very life of God comes through the precious blood of Jesus Christ as we're born of the Spirit of God. Father in heaven, Lord, what a blessed thing to end our study with as we come to the very place we are now. We've started with God and his greatness and supremacy, and we come right to where we are today looking at what he's done through these years to get us to the point that we could be called children of God. What an amazing, wonderful thing that we who are lost in the muck and mire of sin, born in a world doomed, God's wrath, God's curse is upon it, yet we look towards Calvary, the marvelous Son of God, the just for the unjust, the holy for the unholy, the righteous for the unrighteous, the one who didn't deserve to die, die, and we who deserve to die were already dead, and God has made a way, hallelujah, to be made alive. What a glorious thing, dear God, in our heart. The Holy Spirit cries, Abba, Father, and we know who you are, and the world says you're boasted, but we know we're nothing. Without you, Lord, we're nothing. But in you, we have the privilege to be called children of God, the God of this universe. And Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God incarnated in the flesh, the one who suffered and died for us, dear Father, Jesus Christ says, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. My, what a marvelous thing you've done. And this world spits and spurns and does everything but preach Jesus Christ and crucify. God, please let us go out of this world preaching your name in your way as the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks.